For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Georgia's traditionally not kicked well in this stadium. You know, that win with that open end, it comes in off the St. John's. I mean, great kickers have struggled in this place. And when you look at Florida's domination now, and really, if you go back to, say, 1997, when you were about, you know, 5 years old, I'm aging myself here, Coach Donnan's second year, pretty much every year from then on out, you know, Georgia almost every season had close to equitable talent. Those years before with Spurrier, it was a no-brainer. But after that, Florida was still able to win. The ones in 02 and 03, particularly painful. What happened in 2014 was particularly painful there. But a lot of the big reason, what we would see, Drew, it was those Georgia implosions, the non-offensive touchdowns, a pick six, a blocked punt, a returned kickoff for a touchdown, just Georgia making mistakes. And how much of that is Florida making plays? How much of that do you think is just the psychological wear and tear of this Florida domination and maybe Georgia pressing? Because I'm just telling you, those what a lot of people would characterize as fluky type plays have been huge difference makers in this game.
Yeah, those are easy talking points to bring up, JD, and obviously a lot of Georgia fans go right back to those because it's happened so often for the Bulldogs down in Jacksonville. But now, this year, this team is different. They're not committing the same type of mistakes that was, you know, you consider shooting yourself in the foot under Kirby Smart's second year at Georgia. This is a team that's built on defense. The special teams is vastly improved. And the offense with the run game and the improvement of the offensive line, all signs point to those problems not coming up in Jacksonville this weekend. And this is what I bring it up to, JD. I think it's really easy to look at. Sure, there have been years where Georgia's the more talented team and they falter. There have been years when Florida's the more talented team and they falter. But I think of years like 2008 and 2009, when Florida was obviously better than Georgia. They were bound for what is now the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We got ran out of the building. I said it on my Twitter just last week. I said two of the most demoralizing losses that I had while in college, 2008 and 2009, Florida killed us. Georgia fans exited the stadium in the third quarter, and it was still so loud because half that thing was packed with blue and orange all the way till the clock hit zero. That was terrible, but I think that could happen in red and black's favor this week, and I really do.
Well, and you think about it too, Drew, so much of this team this season, it's been shedding those skins. It's been checking off boxes. And as painful as those three losses at home were last season, especially that Saturday after Thanksgiving, you know, sometimes like the fiery phoenix, you have to be burned down and then rise back up again. So off the rubbish heap, off the lay stall, we've seen Georgia do what the Dogs have done thus far this season. And you talk about checking off boxes, getting that win over Notre Dame that I think we all felt, okay, this is a moment where it gets us over the hump. But can Georgia follow that up? And man, oh man, have the Dogs done it. I mean, five straight wins by at least 25 points. But now, I mean, you're talking about the game that essentially, it was Mark Richt's Waterloo. This is the game that separated Georgia from a national title or two during his tenure. And I think back to 2002, his second season, Georgia's undefeated. We lost to a Florida team that had three losses. Now it's Kirby's second season, and I agree with you. This team just has a completely different look and feel. And one of the great things that I know you love too, and I know how you were brought up and raised, what I love too, there's been too often Georgia has been more talk than walk. This team is walking the walk and doing its talking with walking, and I love it.
Yeah, there's no question. And the cool thing about this team coached by Kirby is they are doing the duty that lies nearest. They're taking it one game at a time. And that may seem cliche, but it's paying off for them week to week. The dominance that they have showed and the consistency that they have played with show and prove that this weekend is going to be fun for Georgia fans. And I think it just comes down to one thing, JD. Georgia's better than Florida. Florida got whacked by Michigan, who's not a good football team. Florida barely beat Tennessee, which is a total dumpster fire right now, and they were hand-wrapped and gifted a victory at Kentucky. This is not a good football team. If Georgia takes care of the ball, which I expect them to, and runs the ball with efficiency, it's going to be a lot of fun, and unfortunately, I'll have to be watching it on TV. I don't like Jacksonville, but it's going to be fun for dog fans this weekend.
Hey, Drew, when I've been on with your dad and everybody else, I think one of the things that we've talked about, where all the excitement was with this Georgia squad, really going back to the wins over App State and Notre Dame, we saw that this defense is going from a good unit to a great unit. The kicking game has gone from awful to outstanding in 1 year. But we could also see, okay, you got a freshman quarterback, you got this new line with all these new guys on it. So the feeling was, hey, this team can keep getting better and better. Now it's going to be a different animal with what we see with this Florida defense coming on Saturday. But the strides that this offense has made, as we see this line grow, as we see Jake Fromm grow, with all the other parts and pieces around it, you know, I think that's kind of given proof and credence to what we've been talking about, that could take this team, the growth of the offense, from a good to a very good team to potentially a great team.
Yeah, there's no question, JD. You're totally right. And I think one of the best things to see throughout the entire season has been that progression of the offensive line. In the Frank Royals Award, it's usually given to the top assistant, mm-hmm. meaning offensive or defensive coordinator. But you could throw Sam Pittman's name in there. Yeah. I mean, what this offensive line has done in 2017 for this football team and this running attack is nothing short of amazing. And I understand that Florida's biggest strength is both their lines of scrimmage, offensive and defensively. But with Georgia's five-headed monster at tailback, just continue to run the ball. And Kirby likes to say it, hey, make them quit. And I think they're going to have a great opportunity to do that. And I look forward to Florida fans exiting the stadium early and Georgia putting a bunch of points on the board. I feel really good about it, JD. And I'm not just saying that, because 2 years ago, if you'd asked me this game, I'd say, Georgia's got no chance. I'm not afraid to tell you what I think, but I truly believe that Georgia is going to take care of business in a big way this weekend.
I think Georgia's going to win, too, and I do hope it's in a big way, because the Dogs not only need to win this, but need to start swinging this series. I mean, let's face it. And I think one of the things that's great about Kirby, too, he wants what all Georgia fans want, and that is for this program to be the very best and a consistent contender year in and year out. And when you look at the talent in this state and the way Georgia can go out and recruit elite out-of-state talent on top of it, the Dogs can get there. But there are two games, there are two series Georgia has to dominate. Number one, you got to win the state. Got to beat Tech.
Yeah.
And then you got to beat Florida. That's, if Georgia can consistently beat Tech and Florida, that is the pathway to greatness.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and Kirby's got his opportunity right now. I mean, he's taking advantage of the lowly SEC East, and I know it's only his second season being at the helm at Georgia, but he's taking care of business week after week, and this is his golden opportunity to go down to Jacksonville and make a statement. And I would feel very, very comfortable with the way his team is playing, the way his coaches are coaching. I love the way the fan base has rallied around Georgia. It's easy to do when you're 7-0. And what a great time of the season. Coming off a bye week, getting a few players back who've been injured. It's full steam ahead, and I'm really excited.
Talking with former Georgia great, All-American Ray Guy Award winner, and NFL punter Drew Butler. And, Drew, not just the production on the field, the return of Chubb, Michelle, Carter, Bellamy, talk about what that's meant, just beyond obviously the great seasons the four of those guys are having, just with the leadership. Because kind of my take, and you know me, I'm a warrior growing up with Dooley and Munson, but you know, one of the things, if we're going into like Missouri and Vandy, these guys are saying to the team, we didn't come back to blow this in a game like this. And I would think for this one, and then that Saturday after Thanksgiving, the message from Michelle, from Chubb and co. is going to be, we came back, guys, to win games like this, to win this game.
No, you're totally right. And I think the cool thing about from last year to this year, and even from Coach Rick's last few years to the second year of the Kirby Smart regime, is you can feel the culture change. It's a tangible culture change around the football program, right? You can see it when Kirby's talking to the media. You can hear it when the players are giving their takes throughout the week and then after the game. You can really understand it when you're in Athens on a Saturday, right? After Georgia takes care of business this weekend, I mean, that 3:30 game against South Carolina is going to be an atmosphere that Georgia hasn't seen in quite some time. So the culture change is real, and for those senior leaders to come back and put all chips in the table, I mean, it's what it's meant to be. That's what college football is all about, and what a great opportunity for Georgia football, the entire university, and the fan base to rally around. It's been a lot of fun to watch, for sure.
Drew, shifting gears for just a moment, every week we do a top five and bottom five in the NFL. Is anybody any good in the NFL this year? I mean, is the Super Bowl going to be 9-7 against 9-7?
It's the NFL's dream, man. Parity is the name of the game. If every team could finish 8-8, they would have Roger Goodell would be getting $60 million bonus each year. But let me tell you what, man, yesterday with the Falcons, the Cardinals, the Broncos, I mean, it was an ugly day of football, but I can tell you one thing. It's a long season. For all the Falcon fans listening, I think everything's going to be just fine. You know, they haven't played a division game yet. There's still 10 more games left in the season, or 11 games left in the season, whatever it is. Falcon fans are going to be just fine. Force feed number 11, run it with 24, who you paid a bunch of money to. And I think number two can get it back in a groove.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it's one of those deals that there's a reason that only once since 2004, both teams that made the Super Bowl, that the next year, both of them made it back to the playoffs. And that was the Seahawks and Broncos after 2013. There's a hangover physically and mentally. And I know, Drew, even for you, and you had a great game against Carolina 2 years ago in 2015. You guys played for the NFC Championship when you were with the Cardinals. And then, you know, you think back last year, you got hurt. There were some injuries, a field goal miss here and there, just one or two little things, and it can throw you off. There's just no margin for error.
Yeah, you know, that stuff's real. You know, we had a great year in 2015 with the Arizona Cardinals. We go 13-3. Sure, we got schlacked in the NFC Championship game against the Panthers, but we open up on Sunday night against the Patriots. We have a chance for a game-winning field goal, this, that, and the other. We miss it, and then things sort of seem to derail from that mark. I mean, even my former coach Bruce Arians, pointed to that after the season. He goes, I think our season derailed after one missed field goal. Now, obviously, I would object to that, but that stuff's real, right? When the ball bounces a certain way, heads are hanging late in the fourth quarter, you've been on teams and you're watching one right now with Georgia week after week where no matter what happens on the sideline, guys are fired up and they understand that it's a 60-minute game. It's a little bit different in the NFL, and it seems like the Falcons are certainly playing victim to that throughout the first 6 weeks of the 2017 season.
Hey, Drew, if you could, we'll do a little more Georgia-Florida talk, but real quick, I want to give you some pub. I know, obviously, this business is in your blood there, and you and the former number 11, Mr. Murray, you guys are doing a podcast. I got to listen to a couple of them. You do a really good job with it. Kind of tell everybody about that and where they can find you, because, you know, I'm no good on the Internet. I have a hard time finding it. You have to send me all these links. So talk about that.
I just sent them to Emily.
She's great on the net.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Aaron Murray and myself, we started up our own podcast. It's called the Punt and Pass Podcast. It's on iTunes. It's on SoundCloud. You can find it all over social media and the Internet. But we just have a lot of fun. We talk SEC football. We bring on a guest every single week. I think we're going to have David Pollock on this week. I have a few questions for him. But, yeah, we just have a lot of fun. We try to bring relatable information based on our previous experience, take some fan questions over social media, and it's been fun. We got some big news coming up in the next couple weeks, so everybody check it out if you have a minute. It's a fun and easy listen that you can find just about anywhere.
Drew, now you played for Coach Richt. Your father played for Coach Dooley. One of the things that I think that is really hit with Kirby, and we talk about just the degrees of separation and the connections there, just the basic, the network of everything. Kirby was a star for Coach Donnan. He played for Coach Richt. He was recruited by Ray Goff. Has always had a great relationship with Coach Dooley. So the way, whether it's – and, of course, his dad was a great high school coach in this state. So whether it's looking for a player, he's no more than one phone call away. Whether you're talking about an alumni, a former player from Georgia, somebody who's just been close to the program and wants to come back, I just feel like with Kirby – with a lot of alumni and former players your dad's age, a lot of people, and I'm not saying they were at all cast out or anything, they feel a lot more a part of it now, and there's just an energy that's tough to quantify.
No, you're spot on. And Kirby's a very relatable person throughout everyone involved with the Athletic Association, involved with the Alumni Association, and is coming up from South Georgia or whether it be East Alabama for a game day weekend. Kirby is one of them, right? And I think that's what makes it most special. Kirby wants Georgia to succeed just as much as any crazed Bulldog fan that listens to your show every single day. And that's what gets him to have the ability to rally the entire fan base around him, to rally the entire Alumni Association, Athletic Association around the football program. And it's happening. I mean, we're watching it happen week after week. And the best thing about it is when you're 7-0, that stuff's really, really easy. So it's a great start for him. And make it 8-0 with the win against Florida and Jacksonville. That train just continues to pick up steam.
I've said this too, Drew. The future is bright, and the future is now. I mean, what this team is doing,
man,
and now
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you got Zamir White and Justin Fields headlining this recruiting class. I mean, it's. I just have a feeling, and I thought it when he got here with what he could do in recruiting. I just feel like we're in the early stages of a long golden era of Georgia football.
You know, I don't really pay attention to recruiting that much, but since Kirby's gotten there, you've had no choice. I mean, you're getting a 4- and 5-star recruit to commit to Georgia every single week, it seems. So you start to follow up with it. And I spoke with Dean Leggy a few weeks ago. Dean obviously runs the Dog Post, and he's very in tune with the Georgia football program. He told me, he goes, I never got to see Matthew Stafford play at a game in Dallas, but Zamir White is the best recruit he's ever seen, and Dean's seen a lot of recruits. He goes, that's the best recruit I've ever seen with my own two eyes. It's just, it's awesome because it seems like these five-star kids, these Justin Fields, these Zamir Whites, they want to be with each other. And Kirby's honestly found that out, and it seems like a lot more are in tow.
Hey, by the way, Drew, I always love it when going back to my days of youth. If Georgia's having a great season, enjoy watching the games, the open date. Man, what a bust Saturday night was.
Oh,
every game was a blowout. It stunk. I was locked in. I was fired up.
You know, we got to do something. JD, you and I have to do something about the TV scheduling for college football.
No doubt. Because
I'm out here on the West Coast, but luckily I've got two TVs in my living room. I mean, there were four decent games on at 7:30 p.m. this past weekend. We got to spread that out.
Yeah, you have to. And you know, the nooner, that was, there wasn't anything. Like, the SEC Network nooner was Idaho at Missouri.
My goodness.
No, I mean,
that's awful.
I know, we got, and then you know, it turns out, I mean, Bama, you know, just with Tennessee there, holy cow. By the way, real quick, probably half the jobs in the league, the coaches are on the hot seat. How many schools in the SEC are going to have a new coach next year?
I think three right now. Tennessee's one. I do think Bielema gets bought out, and he's no longer at Arkansas. And it seems like Barry Odom is going to be on the out in Missouri. I mean, just now talking about it, you got to think Matt Luke is not going to stick around at Ole Miss. That's four right there. I have one that I really don't want to become open, though, and that's Florida. I don't think McElwain's on the hot seat, but let me tell you one name who would pounce on Florida, and that's Chip Kelly.
Yes.
And Chip Kelly being in the SEC East is not anything that any Georgia fan, Tennessee fan, nobody wants him down in Florida recruiting those players, getting that Phil Knight check from Nike in Gainesville. I hope McElwain hangs on. I think he catches an L this weekend against Georgia. But, you know, with two SEC East titles in his back pocket, I have a hard time believing he'd be on the out in Gainesville.
I agree with you. I'll tell you another guy, like if something were to happen at LSU, and I know he's quirky and all, but I think about the schools in the Deep South with the athletes there. Mike Leach would be another guy.
Oh, yeah. I think he's one to watch out for at Tennessee, and I think Coach Bobo's name is going to get brought up at Tennessee. But one coach that I'd really watch out for at Tennessee is Scott Frost down at Central Florida. He's probably going to be looking at the Tennessee job or Nebraska, I think.
That's home for him. No, it's a lot of fun, and it's good, like we've said, for Georgia being in that playoff conversation, but you don't want to take part in the conversation. Just bury that outside noise, and I'm just loving what's going on, Drew. We'll get you on again real soon, I hope, buddy. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, JD, appreciate you, man, and I'll be seeing you next weekend, okay?
All right, buddy, be good. That is Drew Butler, former All-American, Ray Guy Award winner, and NFL punter. He is fired up. Everybody's fired up because George is undefeated and playing the Florida Gators, in case you didn't know.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.